Back when Nancy and I lived in Tucumcari, one Sunday morning, a young lady walked into our audience for the first time. She had moved to the barren land of New Mexico from New Jersey, acknowledged that she had not been faithful, wanted to be in fellowship with God again and His people to work. And it was through her that we met her husband, who had been raised in our town and had been raised by a mom and dad that were Christian Scientists, which is a rather strange religion, but one that he had more or less already renounced. And over a process of time, in fact 2 years of off and on study, one evening he came to our house and about 4 p.m. and said, "George, I've got a lot of questions." And so we sat down and I tried to answer every question that he had, and this lasted until supper time or a little past. And finally, Nancy and Laura went and purchased some hamburgers and french fries and brought them to the house, and we had supper and we continued until midnight. And finally at midnight, Charles said, "You know, I've decided to be a Christian that you don't need to know all the answers." And he said, I want to be baptized tonight. And we did. And it was a few years ago, in fact, a few years after we moved here, that I hadn't heard from them a long time and that I received a phone call. They were living in California. And Charles was working secular work, but worshiping with a rather small church, and was now teaching Bible class and preaching, doing some preaching. And that was encouraging. The reason I mention that story is not because of me, but the reality is that life's greatest joy is bringing someone to Christ. And I mean that. More than, you know, the time of dedicating a new, brand new building, the times when we come and we have, you know, just an awesome song service that's so inspiring, the times when you may hear a lesson that really touches a chord, that one of the great occasions of joy is just the simple process of seeing one become a child of God. Well, today I want to share with you a fella by the name of Andrew that's mentioned, recorded in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. It says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated the Christ. Actually, the New Testament doesn't tell us a great deal about this rather ordinary man named Andrew. However, we commonly refer to him probably because of this occasion and perhaps because of a couple of other records that we have in John's Gospel. We commonly refer to Andrew as being the personal worker or the personal evangelist. And his life certainly does challenge us. And there are some things that I want to say about Andrew and the heart of Andrew, but first of all, just sort of some preliminary thoughts about this rather ordinary man who found joy in bringing a brother to Christ. We first of all find that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. John says, according to John chapter 1 and verse 35, "Again the next day, John the Baptist, with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" Andrew had devoted himself to being a disciple of John the Baptist, and obviously had a very spiritually sensitive heart. Perhaps he had been baptized by John, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He had understood and recognized the evil of the world and wanted to place his life in right with, to get his life right with God, and thus had chosen to follow John the Baptist. Andrew is one of the first, or actually the very first of 12 to follow Jesus. And yet, oddly enough, he is not a very prominent character. He was not among the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, that would witness the transfiguration, that would witness the healing of Jairus' daughter, or that would be with the Lord in Gethsemane. He was kind of on the outside. And yet never do you ever hear of his jealousy over this. We do not know of the boldness of Andrew as we do the boldness of Peter. In fact, he always lived in the shadow of his brother. In fact, even in the records where you have the list of apostles, he is oddly enough described as Simon Peter's brother, always living in the shadow of his brother. And yet we learn some very remarkable and very important lessons from Andrew. I want to talk about the heart of Andrew. First of all, the heart of Andrew that made him so successful in leading others to Jesus is that Andrew had a heart of knowledge. First of all, he had devoted himself as a disciple of John the Baptist. And in fact, after he was brought to Jesus, the record says in John chapter 1, verse 39, that he stayed with them, and Jesus said, "Come see," and they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. That is, they even spent a little time with Jesus. I'm sure that the message of Jesus, like the message of John, must have inspired the heart of this very tender man and his tender heart, encouraged him,